that. Just three quick comments. In terms of special ed, at the federal level, there's the Congressional Research Service, which is a huge group of folks, as Kirsten knows, a huge group of folks that are subject matter experts and that provide written briefings for members of Congress on any number of issues, thousands of issues, for members of Congress and legislative staff. At the state level, it's the Legislative Analyst's Office that fulfills that function in many instances. There is a terrific report on special education that I will circulate to the other board members. It's a public document, so that won't give Tom any heartburn. It is a great primer and a great briefing on the special education issue, and gives some facts and figures behind some of the remarks that Dr. Young was making. For example, I would have never figured that one of the huge jumps is because of kids with autism. That has been one of the primary reasons why the number of kids have gone up in the past few years, which is an interesting fact, and which really provides one of the things you'll see is tremendous amount of resources per student that immediately come onto the school and the students, not just with the staff, but with the outlay for students. And the fact that Navigators should be applauded for really following through on the commitment that everyone is included. Finally, I'd like to thank Jaime for bringing the special education issue up and keeping it front and center in front of the board. We'll continue to do that. On the safety stuff, we can talk more about this later. Kirsten, thank you. David, thank you. This is an issue in which it is what they call a burning platform. We just have to continue every week to see what are we doing to move to use a sports analogy, move the ball down the field. Even if it's a small increment of success, it is the only way to get this to a place where we feel confident that we're providing the best opportunities, protections and security for our students, staff, and others. Finally, on the absenteeism, it is a stubborn problem. Thank you, Sean, for giving it to the board in a set of statistics that we will continue to use rather than in the past, some of this stuff has moved around in terms of criteria. This is a good dashboard in which we can see which way the meter is going. So thank you to Sean and the staff for pulling this together. It is again, sort of one of these major issues that the board has to be we have the responsibility of being familiar with the figures in terms of helping you guys come up with policies, including making budget decisions. So thank you. Any other comments or questions? Thank you for the pictures, by the way, Caprice. They are absolutely terrific.
You can thank the Kirsten and the principals for those. It was just, they were great events, and yeah. So much fun to see people just being happy and joyful. Yeah.
If you ever have any reason as to why the mission is the mission, I called my wife Michelle over and said, look at these pictures. And so it was really, really sweet. So thank you.
You know, it was interesting to me to see in the material, it was reference to some of the things we're doing in terms of realizing and identifying some of the unique challenges of foster children. I'm on another board that we really work to transition foster children into through job training, education, housing, into the real world, and to see that we're recognizing that this is a group with unique needs as well. I think it's just very consistent with our mission of serving underserved students.
Yeah, you're right, Chuck. Going back to the pictures for a minute, there are a lot of pictures in the media these days that show kids in entirely different environments and confronted with some real brutality in the world, and which is very real. And Navigator staff is part of a process that is giving these kids an opportunity to have the look on their faces and the appreciation of their heritage. So again, thank you very much, and thank you for the pictures. They were a good anecdote to some of the other stuff going around. Okay, other comments or questions?
Moving on. Item F, the approval of the minutes from the previous regular board meeting that occurred on September 26th. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Jaime, I'm motion to approve.
Thank you, Jaime. Second, JP?
JP, I'll second.
Thank you. Do any amendments or changes in the board meeting minutes from last month? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. Sean?
Chuck Daggs.
Doris Lemieux, aye.
Craig Grissom.
Aye.
Ian Connell.
Aye.
JP Anderson.
Aye.
Emma Kuroga.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Shara Hegde.
Aye.
Motion is approved.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, board. Moving on to section two, the consent agenda. The board has reviewed the consent agenda, which discusses the modular expenditures for the three classrooms in Hayward Collegiate, consideration of the state Proposition 51 program agreements for Gilroy, and the consideration of the state proposition for Gilroy Prep, the second, and the approval of an attached resolution, BR 2024-07, allowing the CEO and superintendent and the CFOO to form a banking relationship with the Bank of California.
Is there any motions before I ask for a vote of approval? Does the board, any members of the board seek to take an item off the consent agenda to be put onto the agenda separately?
Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda?
JP, so moved.
Thank you, JP. Do I hear a second?
Ian, second.
Comments or questions regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none. The one comment I will make is I appreciate both Dr. Young and staff to putting some thought and substance in the consent agenda and allowing the board to move forward on these items. With that comment, I'll move for a vote. Sean, would you call the roll call, please?
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
Craig Grissom.
I apologize. Yes.
Ian Connell.
Aye.
JP Anderson.
Aye.
Emma Kuroga.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Shara Hegde.
Aye.
The motion is approved. I can't
tell. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, staff. We'll move on to section three, the Academic Success Committee report. You see our CAO, James, is identified here. James, you have the floor.
You're muted, James.
Let them warm up. Claire, if you have any comments, feel free to pipe in as well. I thought what I'd do is just focus on one part of I think the most important part. All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Our Academic Excellence Committee meeting this time was dedicated to our one of our three priorities, which is our adjusting our math program. And if you'll recall, I think I shared last month, there was a year where we did not do centers and we had the performance around 53%. The next years we started to see great improvement because we went to centers in our math classrooms. And last year we did not do centers again and our scores did not improve. So what we talked about at the Academic Success Committee meeting was this model classroom idea, which is essentially the process that's happened so far is we identified the teacher that across the network that was closest to being a model, coached her pretty intensively for 2 to 3 days, and then brought the other schools over to see the classroom. So we had representatives from Hayward Collegiate, Watsonville, and Gilroy come over and observe. And what they all left with was inspiration to go back and create these models at their own sites. And so I have a short video so you guys can see what it actually looks like in the classroom and why, as you watch this video, think to yourself how this may or may not lead to increased student achievement. And well, actually too late, I already put the chart on here. It did lead to increased student achievement. So if you look at the 3 fifth grades across these three schools, you'll see that the model classroom is showing the highest amount of student achievement. So let's take a look at the video and then we'll come back and chat.
Okay. You are going to find the area of each of these with your partner. You have the cards. Please just pull out the diagrams and you're going to find the area in each of the four spaces on your whiteboard with your partner. Capiche? Use whatever expression makes sense to you to find the area. You have 4 minutes. Spend 1 minute on each, that would be a great thing. Can I do this I am writing down the names of students that I am seeing, so I can pay attention to the center.
Sorry, 1 minute. How can I show a rectangle that is half the unit?
So to give you guys an idea of what happened, what you just saw, the first half was the whole group instruction. And so the kids, the entire class was working on the first activity together. And what she and the SGI, who you'll see in a moment, do is they go around and they look to see which are the students that I really need to be ready for when they come to me in the next section, which is the center's rotation, which you'll see now.
By one whole unit. Okay. I want you to actually just do it. I know your partner can check each other's work, but can you please go ahead and show me on your grade paper, one half unit by one unit. I'll draw the dimensions on the side. It's got to be connected. So this shows me. Maybe if you want to extend it. This is Korea had a ribbon that was 40 inches long. How many inches? That's the whole ribbon. She cut off 18 inches. So they want to know how long is it from now? She has 44 inches. She cut off 18. That's a good start. Keep going.
So we have two adults in the classroom. So now you're going to see Miss Liana and what she's doing in her center. The two instructors exchange information during this transition time so that Miss Liana knows who to really keep an eye on based on what Miss Chase had just done.
So as you're reviewing Chase's tracker, what are you thinking about?
I'm thinking how I should identify that some of our diagrams are split into pieces and how we can better identify like how many pieces and can make a whole brain.
Good.
Looking for a quiet hand. We notice that the lengths are the same. What do we notice about the width? I love how we are using our new academic vocabulary. And what are we identifying in both diagrams? Area. What are we identifying, friends? How do we find the area? Length times what?
I don't know if you guys noticed in that, she was actually looking at the data tracker that the teacher had created, and they passed and exchanged that information as the kids rotated through their center so that there was like true collaboration going on. Any initial thoughts or comments or questions or adds? All right. Sure.
Well, James, I just wanted to share, I mean, thank you for doing the work to capture this video and share with us, because as a board, we don't have, you know, all this level of visibility on a regular basis. So it's just awesome to be able to see that connection. So I really appreciate you doing the extra work to capture that for us.
Yep. Okay, great. Claire, anything you want to add regarding that meeting? I have one other thing to share, if not.
No, I just wanted to say the same sentiments. I think it's good that the board sees that work, right? We can look at all the data, but when you see a student face learning, it makes all the difference for us. Thank you.
Yep. The next thing I wanted to share is fairly hot off the presses, because the state has released the official website where we can go and look at all of how the other schools are doing. And each year we look at our local schools and compare them to our site. And then we also are looking at the charter schools around the Bay Area. So that will be next time, because it is a little bit laborious. But the great news, I think, for our students and for our families is that in looking at our the four closest neighborhood schools to each of our Navigator schools, we'll see the same trend across the board. So I won't show you all of these. I'll just take my word for it that you can see here they're pretty similar. This is looking at all students ELA for 3 years at Gilroy Prep compared to the four district schools. You can see everyone's seen drops, but we're almost three times in some cases the proficiency levels of our local schools. We did break this down. This is looking at our Latin subgroups only, Latinx, and it's also broken down by socioeconomically disadvantaged. And then it moves on to math. And you can see the trend here for Gilroy Prep in math is quite similar. Hollister Prep, very, very similar graphs the whole way through. And then Watsonville Prep is really an interesting story to me, because it's not our highest performing school. It's our, you know, lowest performing school. But having been a vice principal in Watsonville in the 2000s, I know what that community, the need in that community is extraordinarily high. And Watsonville Prep, if you look at this graph, again, please note this is 40%. Google did that. I didn't game it. It was just, that's how it came out. But again, you can see we're doubled or even triple in some cases for these local, compared to the local schools in Watsonville. And I would guess, you know, somewhere between 60 and 90% of the students that attend our school are from one of these four schools, because the others are a bit more outliers. And you can see, again, that's for reading and then math. Same, this is looking at the Latinx population. And you can just see, like I said, the need in Watsonville is incredible. And unfortunately, I started as the vice principal there in 2004. And here we are, what is that, 19 years later, and same world, unfortunately. Hayward Collegiate also, looking at their 23 scores, I mean, again, doubling tripling harder, which is, I think, maybe potentially the closest school to Hayward Collegiate. And then looking at their math scores, all students, again, you see the students of our schools really benefiting from the, you know, education that providing them compared to the local districts. So obviously, as hard as this work is, it's when graphs like that pop up, they just make us feel like, okay, we are making a difference in the world for our students. So
you should be proud of that outcome that you guys have driven.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, Chuck, to build on that is that we do have our model providing arm that is desperately always wanting to help also. So we do have a team that is helping, is actively helping schools out there also, that reach out to us. So there's a lot of kids that need help in our state.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to echo Chuck's statements. I mean, that I know we're always looking to improve, and we have very high goals across all schools. But I mean, to look and see 2-3x or even more than 3x, what would be alternatives that most of our students, you know, those classrooms that they would be sitting in if we didn't exist. I mean, that's really something for everyone to just be very, very proud of. So I just love seeing that. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And during a very challenging time.
Indeed.
One of the reactions that I have is to go back to the meeting in front of the Pajaro Valley School District when we were trying to get this approved. And this is a public meeting and a public record, so I will tone down my remarks a great deal. But the frustration that staff members must have had to be subjected to statements that had no foundation and no basis with respect to the impact that you would have, the negative outcomes that would occur, and then subsequently see that in the county environment. I'm just surprised you guys just didn't want to burn. Well, you guys were just, I appreciate your restraint. And here it is in hard data about the impact that you've had. And, you know, there are a couple of reporters. I would love to find a way to get this data in front of them so that they can see the just exactly what the consequences are and just how much, what a difference you guys make. So just congratulations. And I just, from that moment to here, it's really a good, really a good outcome. Thank you.
Yeah, if I could just say one more thing, because I want to just acknowledge the incredible work that our principals have put forth to get these results. And just today, I walked into, I gave a tour to a school from San Francisco called the New School. And it doesn't beat magical, but it was pretty darn close once they had toured our squads in the middle school and the elementary school, when we pulled them all together. And I have video proof of this because the lady, it came out of her mouth. She said the leadership and engagement of middle school kids is astonishing. And I just like grabbed the phone and I said, wait a second, I'm going to have to ask you to repeat yourself. And so I did record the whole thing, which I'll share with the staff tomorrow. But just such kudos to everyone and how hard they work. And, you know, Andy, I'm looking at you right now because I saw, you know, those 14, I can't remember the new term, intensive need students. You see it when you're at the campus, and they're contained in that building. And, you know, it's a very hard job, and I'm just super proud and thankful for the day in and day out battles for the kids.
And I'll just echo on the the shout out. The WPS sixth grade team, which they're new to squads, had the highest star growth, some of the highest star growth in the school. And as you know, that's hard to do the older the kids are. And when you see the amount of growth, especially in math, that the students have made from beginning of the year to unit one, it's something to applaud.
And you'll get to see some of that at the December board meeting. The at the next academic committee, we'll be able to roll out for you the beginning of the year star scores to the ones at the end of the 9-week period. And what you're going to see is phenomenal growth. And also they'll report out on the intervention successes as well. We've had kids going into intervention and coming out. And a lot of times kids get pushed into intervention and it becomes their forever assignment. And the amount of progress they've made have pulled them right out of intervention. And want to just give also some special shout outs to Tina and her team again, because they've been doing phenomenal intervention work and can't wait till you can see it in the next meeting.
Yeah, you can't say enough. And kudos to Missy and her team this morning, just knocked the socks off of the school. And I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow they want us to help start coaching some of their stuff up there. So great job.
Great. Okay, other questions or comments? James, thank you. Yep. Claire, thank you. And we will move on to section four, the update on communications and public relations.
Thank you. I think Chris is going to share the screen, but the timing was perfect as you were talking about wanting to pitch some stories to some reporters. So in the September board meeting, allowed us to move forward with Larson Communications to work on an overall communications approach. And so you have this in your background. Oh, I guess it's going flat. Sorry, Chris, I don't know why it's doing that. So you've already had this information, but I just wanted to highlight a couple quick things. The goals of the partnership: to build that strong infrastructure by which we can grow, both by sharing the story with our internal stakeholders, as well as to future staff and external stakeholders. We know we have a great story. You can go to the next one, Chris, the three goals of our partnership. There you go.
Can you tell the board what owned media is?
So the owned media, that is the stuff that we have control over. So that would be our website, our social media pages, anything we put out. So that way really is something we are in control of versus something where, like John was talking about, an article that is written about us. So the other thing they're going to be able to do is just what John said, which is be able to tell the story about Navigator Schools. We who are here and have either chosen to work here, serve on our board, send our students to Navigator, we know the story, but we want others to truly know the story, both in the districts we serve, as well as hopefully in future homes. And as it said at the bottom, hopefully people with money know our story and want to give it to us. So those are the goals of the partnership. You can go to the next one, Chris. So we in phase one, which is kind of where we are right now, Larson went through and did an audit of our owned media. So they looked through the website, they looked through all of the different social media channels, they looked through our marketing materials. And as I said to Valentina when we were talking before the meeting, they're creating a new website, which will be much more user-friendly. And so that is in, they're in progress of doing that now. We're actually going to be sending something out to staff and stakeholders on what do you want to see in a new website? What's important to you? Then we are going to be doing the website training, doing the social media management tool so that we are able to both utilize our social media and also make sure that it is being utilized properly and in a safe way. And then create recommendations for internal communication cadence. We're working on that now. You can go to the next one, Chris. So that's just kind of the, as we went through here, what that own channel improvement plan is. We are currently, they're downloading all of the web content, working with staff. And it's going to be really exciting when Gabby is not full-time principal at Hollister Prep School and comes back and is part of the communications team so that we can work on this together. She's been doing this a little bit on the side, but being a principal is kind of a big full-time job. So it's taking her, it will be once she's back with us full-time, we'll be able to do this. So you can tell that's kind of the plan and we'll be able to keep you guys updated. All right, Chris, number five. So then phase two will be in that proactive storytelling and fundraising plan. One of the, we've already had a couple wins here. I don't know if you guys saw the Charter Folk article that was written last week. Squads were featured. And so it was an interview between James and myself. I was interviewing James, being able to tell people what the squads model is like. And we actually were able to share that with Parent Square today because it really is a great overall view of squads and also just shows a little bit about what's going on in the charter movement. And we submitted a proposal to present at a staffing summit in the spring.
Is it possible to send that link to board members?
Absolutely.
If you would, thanks.
Absolutely. Okay, next slide six, Mr. Chris. And then what we're working on next is just kind of a little bit more about what makes us special. We just saw that in the slide deck that James put on. There are a lot of things that make us special and make us work. And we want to be able to figure out what are the key points that we will be able to share that not only make us different from the schools around us, but also other charter schools in California and across the nation. And then we will be doing a strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats exercise, and then doing actual story identification and who are the people that we want to be able to tell the story and what communication channels do we want to do. And then finally, it's just how to get in touch with Larson. They've been a great partner. They've done a lot of stuff with charter schools across California. They have been really easy to contact, been able to run some stuff by them immediately. So it's been a wonderful partnership. And I'm open to questions if y'all have some.
Questions for Kirsten?
I think it's good that we're attacking this well-kept secret.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, I don't want it to be a secret anymore.
No.
We used to say, I think I've said this before, we used to say when it came to the services that the Coast Guard does everything well except tell its story. And they changed that over the past few years, but we're seeing this
dynamic occurring now, telling the story. I mean, you guys are living it and you're responding when people are asked, but now it's time
in this day and age to go out and tell folks about what you're doing. So we're going to do that.
The good news.
Thank you. Appreciate the update.
Need to back it up.
Yeah. And please keep coming back and updating the board on some of those timelines and benchmarks. So, did Larson have any reaction to? I mean, I know that a paid vendor is always, you guys are doing great and you just keep going. But did you see them raising their eyebrows over anything that we, you know, where you were like, yeah, no, we got to do that or.
No, and I think part of it, we've been fortunate to have worked with them for a long time, not officially, but with help from Ian and the Charter School Growth Fund. So we've been able to have a lot of those conversations already. They've actually used us to partner with them in things in the past, have asked us to be on panels with them. So we've known, they've known us and we've known them. So nothing was a big surprise.
Good. Ian, any comments?
No, I just, it's great to see the output of all this and the deep dive on the strategy. So nothing new from my side.
Great. Okay, we'll move on to item B, an update and approval of board policies.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Nice to see you all. Policies is not as exciting as PR and academics, but it is just as important. And that's because policies inform procedures and procedures and kind of inform what happens to our scholars. So what you have in front of you is a couple of items. We are on a mission to update and review all of our policies to ensure compliance and safety at Navigator schools. And so we'll be bringing batches of updated policies to you at every board meeting for approval. We are working together with YMC to make sure that it's up to date in regards to legislation and time. And there's a tracker attached that should update you on what the status is on that, if we have this policy already, if it needs updating, and what the timeline for that is. As a note, there's three big anchors when we think about policies. There's the actual policies we need board approval from, annual notifications that are sent out to parents, and a host full of items that are sent in that those annual notifications. And there's the family handbook that is separate, does not require approval, but it is required that we at least notify the board that this is what our handbook and these are what our annual notifications are. So that is also coming in the next couple of months. For this meeting, we have a couple of policies that we would love to get approved. The most important one, I would say, are the four suspension and expulsion policies for all four sites. That's just something we need to make sure we're fully updated on. Happy to take any questions or comments.
I just have a couple comments. On line item 104 and 105, under the uniform complaint, and the education of Foster, I think it's just a typo, but okay. Look under the school campus, under Hayward, well, it doesn't show Hayward Collegiate, it shows the charter school. So I think it's just a typo. Yeah, okay. So it's 104 and 105.
For the uniform complaint?
Yeah, uniform complaint and education of Foster and mobile youth policy. So where it shows school campus, the table where it shows school campus. I think it's a typo, just it says the charter school.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is with the 10 items here. By the way, really appreciate the policy review memorandum. On the 10 items, I'll speak for myself. This is where subject matter expertise becomes critical. Somebody like Shara looks at this and immediately sees her profession, and recognizes it and can see the issues that may need stuff. I just want to say, if perhaps we can put a pin, and again, we don't have to spend some time on this, Caprice, but if we can put a pin so that as board members digest this over the next few meetings, that come the new year, if we have any questions, we can bring them up during the board retreat. The reality is, one, I don't want to make this a conditional approval. You guys are the subject matter experts. You're updating them, which is spectacular. And I'm happy to vote yes based on your expertise. It's just that I can't comment on it. So because you guys know what the appropriate policies are. So if there's something that comes across, or if some of the folks like Shara and others see stuff who are SMEs, if we could just have an opportunity at some point on the agenda in January to come back to that. I don't want to postpone any approvals until then. I want to go forward. So good work. And thank you.
We can, I can in the future just make sure there's at least a one or two sentence blurb under each policy that gives a review of it. And I think Dr. Young and I talked about potentially bringing it to a committee to review before we pass it on to the board, but that hasn't been finalized.
Okay.
Quick question for you, Nina. Is there a material differences between the suspension and expulsion policies for each of the schools, or is it just due to like the charters being different?
The charters are different. And so, for example, like Hayward Collegiate required different different paragraphs and line items compared to Gilroy Prep when they were approved. So YMC was able to review both and make sure they're fully updated.
Great. And I think if YMC reviews most of the policies, they generally are on top of things and have the best and most up-to-date language based on Ed Code and any of the changing laws. And so I'm comfortable if they're comfortable and if they've signed off. So I think that for us is sort of the, you know, that gives me the green light and gives me a lot of confidence that these are where they need to be. And so I would feel very comfortable approving. And then there's always the opportunity, you know, to modify as we go along if new language comes out. In fact, we should be doing that, right? So, yeah.
Great. So
these are never set in stone.
What will definitely happen is at the end of every legislative session, YMC comes back to the whole charter school movement and says, okay, you all have to change the following things. Because for better or for worse, about 90% or maybe even a little bit more of what's in these policies are actually dictated by law. So the main thing when we're going through them that we're looking at is making sure that YMC has made the charter requirements consistent with whatever the most current state law is on these policies. And then once we're there, then we're going through them and looking at them from the perspective of, and how does this jibe with the values and processes that we have as a school, right? And that's a really important piece. So for example, being full inclusion means that we have different strategies around things like discipline than a lot of schools do. So that is just an example. So the first screen of the policies is, are we up to date with all the codes? And the second screen is, now are there modifications needed that are legal that will make them more closely aligned with our values and processes as an organization?
The CEO and in her wisdom, and the board affirmed it, recently took the general counsel off of an hourly rate and put him on a time. So let's make sure we flood him with these policies so that we can get his expertise in terms of any red flags that he sees. I know that Tom will be eager to review them over the next quarter year and give us any of his expertise as well. So thank you. Tom, you're on mute if you want to comment, Tom, or perhaps you're want to stay on mute.
Thanks, John. No, I appreciate that, John. And you know, we're all rowing in the same direction here for the organization. So, however I can help.
John, if I could just add one more thing. I know, Kirsten, you're managing the whole website process. There's so much of this stuff that has to be posted. So if they're just want to make sure Larson's in the loop on that and gives you something easy to update and do the postings and the takedowns and the postings. And so hopefully they're thinking about that too.
Thank you, Shar. They actually, that was one of the things that they had a whole section on, is highlight the things that legally have to be up and down and up and down. So thank you.
We'll be modeling our compliance section after Bright Star Schools' compliance section on their website. Of all of the charter schools I've ever seen, theirs is the most complete, the most comprehensive, the most transparent. So if anybody wants to take a look at a good one, and I know my team has already looked at it, brightstar.org is the charter schools that we're modeling our compliance website section after.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion to approve the policies listed
in agenda item section 4, item B?
So move.
Thank you, Chuck. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Jeremy. Additional comments and or questions? Hearing none. Sean, would you call the roll for approval, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Aimee Karuga?
Aye.
John Faherty?
Aye.
Shari Hegde?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you.
Nina, thank you very much. Appreciate all the hard work. Look forward to additional items coming our way. So thank you. And again, thank you for the tracker item too. Very helpful. The board will now move to closed session. The board is entering closed session for the evaluation of the chief executive officer and superintendent on the first quarter evaluation.
We need to have a motion to go into closed session. Sean, or do I hear a motion to go into closed session? Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote to go into closed session for the reasons stated.
Chuck Harris?
Aye.
Eggerson?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Move on.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Emmett Karuga?
Aye.
John Faherty?
Aye.
Shari Hegde?
Aye.
And Ian Connell?
No, sorry, aye.
Okay.
Motion carries. We'll move to closed session.